Celia, the little five-year-old girl, for those who know my niece, she's my great-niece, she's the five-year-old, started kindergarten this year at Newburgh Elementary. So, and Brett is in the third grade. So this year, because of their dad's schedule, Ben's schedule, I'm going to be taking them to school a lot more, it looks like, which is fine. So the first time they came to my house, it was last week, or whatever that first week of school was. And so we're taking, she's her first time going to kindergarten, and so we're going, taking them over there. Brett has already got into the car. Celia, we're walking out my door towards the garage, and she says, "Uncle Tom, will you get us a special surprise treat from Donut Bank?" And she's dead serious. I said, "Oh, sure. She's already told me what to get." So I thought, okay, we'll do this. So I had to pick them up after school also. So I thought, okay, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to get chocolate Long John. I know that's what they both want, cream filled. I know that's what they want. So I go to Donut Bank. I get one bag with the chocolate. I get two bags, actually, with a chocolate Long John in each bag. The third bag is what I'm going to do. So I go pick them up, and they're all excited about that. I get their bags and put them on the table. Celia opens up her bag and absolutely screams, and she's mad because I know that this is true. I put a banana in her basket, in her bag. She hates bananas. Really, she can't stand the smell of them. Josh, the three-year-old, chases her around the house with a banana. So I know she hates bananas. Now she's really mad that she's got a banana. So she's looking at Brett's sack, only seeing only one Long John. She has no clue that I've got the other one hidden right now. So she goes, "Uncle Tom," and she's really mad. I said, "Oh, Celia, here's your Long John." So it was just, I thought, I'm going to get that little girl back somehow. But when I picked them up, this would be like before I got my house, I picked them up. I'm in the car line, and I got close to the door because it's Celia's first time with me. And I thought, I got close to the door. She comes out with all the kindergartners, and she runs to my car. "Uncle Tom, Uncle Tom." And I felt so sorry because the teacher had to grab her, whip her back, get back in place, you know. So she's back in her place. She looks up at me. She knows that she's been bad. She looks up at me, and she just waves. I thought, oh, God, it's going to be an interesting year, to say the least. I don't know. I'll keep you informed. Rather than jump into Mark's gospel, which we're back to it, I want to reflect just briefly on James, the letter of James, because for the next 4 weeks, we will be listening to this letter. It only has 108 verses in it. It's not very long. They're not sure who the author is. The author could be James, the brother to Jesus, as the Gospels say, or it could have been written a lot later, and it could have been just attributed to James. So the author's not sure the author, who really the person is, or even the date when this was written. It could have been written as early, probably as in the 60s, or as late as in the 2nd century. But it makes no difference. It's got a sketchy history to James, to the letter of James. Jesus' name is not mentioned in this letter. Isn't that crazy? Jesus' name is not mentioned in the letter. There's a couple references, but never the name of Jesus is mentioned in James. The oldest, there's a manuscript or a fragment, I forgot the name of it, you guys. I was Googling all this stuff. There's a fragment it goes back to the year 170. A.D. and it lists the books of the Christian scriptures, the New Testament. It lists it, and again, James was not on that list. There's a guy who's a church historian, Eusebius, back in the 4th century, and he says people are accepting James, but not. He put it in a contested book that's believed to be contested. Saint Jerome, who translated the Bible into Latin. But kind of what we use today, and there's also the late 4th century, he says little by little, people are accepting James. And Luther, Martin Luther, when he was around in the 16th century, he called James an epistle of straw. But anyways, so it's kind of a sketchy history of the letter to James, but it did make it into the canon of the Christian scriptures, the 27 books that we have. James is very practical. You're not going to find a lot of theological parts in this thing at all, or some kind of teachings at all. He's just very practical. He says that we can believe all those things that are right. We can say things that are right, all the things that are right. We can talk about how we love God, how we love Jesus all we want to. We can do all those things. We can meditate on God's rules and regulations and talk about all that stuff. But he says, James says, that is not religion. That's not religion for James. For James, and we just heard it, and for James, religion is this, that pure and become pure and undefiled before God and the Father, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. That is religion. That is Christianity. James tells us that we need to be doers of the word. We need to be doers of God's word. True authentication of being a disciple is that we do something. That it's real. That's who we are. Care for widows and for the orphans. Again, back in Jesus' time, back in James' time, widows had nothing. Literally nothing. All they owned were the clothes on their back. They lost their property. They lost their home. They could not get a job. You can only get married if some dude asks you because you're not going to get that one. So they had absolutely nothing. And so did orphans. They were helpless. So when we say, who are those people? They're the people with no voice, no power. Those people who are helpless of this world, this society. Those people who have nothing. We are the religion is to do something in their affliction. Don't merely listen to the gospel, James says. So we deceive ourselves with that. But do what it says. You've heard me say this before. I think the most important places in St. John the Baptist Church are these exit signs. These exit signs are the most important thing. We walk out of these doors of St. John the Baptist, we have to be doers of God's word. We do a lot of that here at St. John the Baptist with a lot of our justice ministry, with St. Vincent de Paul in Cage, and hopefully a resurrection of our Haiti ministry. We do all those kinds. We can become involved in all those things, Mother Teresa and the food pantry. Doers of God's word. The Lord asks two things of us, that we stay in communion with Him, with Jesus, and that also we provide service to our brothers and sisters.